This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Preview Show.
Hello, welcome to 1874. It's time for a match preview show as Villa take on Olympiacos in the Europa Conference League semi-final at Villa Park tomorrow night. Huge game, been many a year since Villa took part in a European semi-final, and feels a while ago as well since Villa had a semi-final at Villa Park. It was obviously pre-COVID when Trezeguet scored that goal against Leicester. So obviously a huge, huge game, big game for all the Villa fans. But unfortunately, I need to start with some sad news. So people all know Little Gemma on social media, on Twitter, obviously massive Villa fan, her, a dad, a brother Ian as well, and Bailey and members of their family. They travel every single week from Grimsby to Villa Park, all season ticket holders. And I was with them on Saturday before the Chelsea game. And then yesterday got a text from Gemma saying that her dad, Ian, had passed away, had a heart attack yesterday morning. Absolutely devastated for them. Devastated because he's a lovely, lovely man, someone who I had a lot of time for and was really, really fond of. My dad, exactly the same. We spent so much time with them over the last few years before going. So I'm absolutely shocked yesterday when I got that text. So yeah, best wishes to Gemma and the rest of the family. I mean, it shows, you know, I was with him on Saturday before the game. Last thing he said to me was, "See you Thursday." And it's just absolutely heartbreaking for them and another whole sender in the sky. Just a lovely, lovely man, infectious personality, always up for a laugh. You know, watched every single Villa podcast going, I think every single Villa YouTube video. Just a huge, huge Villa fan, made more effort than most to get to every home game as well with his family. And yeah, I'm going to miss him very much at Villa Park. I'm going to miss seeing his face before the games and having a beer with him. So again, just so sorry to Gemma, Ian and a family, because he will be a huge loss, and he'll be a huge loss in my life as well, because I loved him very, very much. And I can't believe at this time when Villarino got a European semi-final going for the Champions League that, you know, he's not going to be able to celebrate that if all these things go the way that Villa fans want him. So yeah, give Gemma some love on social media, give a family some love as well. Just I can't say enough what an exceptional man he was and how much I'll miss him. Right, Dave. Yeah, so I'm really, really sad about that. Obviously, got to try and do a match preview now. I'm presuming your knowledge of Olympiacos is about as good as mine. I felt like as this tournament went on, I'd know more about the opposition that Villa were facing. I know little bits and pieces, but Olympiacos, I feel the same about this game as I did about the Lille game, really, in that I think this is a team that's been in Europe by and large a lot more than Villa over the last decade. In fact, they will have been in Europe a lot more than Villa over the last decade. I think being at home first makes it trickier than it would be. It's a tough game again, isn't it? Very much in the mould of the Lille game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably Lille are a stronger side, I would say, than Olympiacos. But you're right, I haven't seen a great deal of Olympiacos at all this season. Obviously, they're part of the big four in the Greek Super League. And a team that will be coming to Villa Park and are going to be, I wouldn't say confident of getting a result, but I think they'll be backing their own ability to come to Villa Park and quieten the crowd and impose themselves on the game a little bit as it wears on. I don't think they're going to come out all guns blazing at all, but I suspect if they're well in the game, which I expect them to be as the game wears on, then I think they'll be coming out of their shell a little bit as the game wears on.
Yeah, and obviously a tough time for Villa at the moment in terms of personnel. I think Zaniolo's going to be back, isn't he? So kind of again, one goes, another comes back, but I'm sure someone else will go tomorrow night because that just seems to be the way it's going for Villa at the moment. But kind of hands tied a little bit with selection, Dave.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Yeah, it's obviously a difficult time for injuries, as you say. As soon as one comes back, another one goes. So obviously Zaniolo has missed the two open sessions in the last couple of days. And when I say open session, I mean a session that is open to media and cameras. Usually it's a 15-minute window that's afforded to cameras in the build-up to a game. The one on, what day are we, Wednesday? So the one on Monday was a kind of scheduled Premier League open training session. And then the one today on a match day minus one, clubs have to open their doors and make available a 15-minute training window for captures to camera training shots. So Zaniolo missed the two sessions that were open to the media. So that's not to say that he did some training on his own, which I believe he did yesterday, and I think Unai Emery said today that he didn't feel too good after that session yesterday. I think the plan was if he came through the session yesterday well, he would be with the group today, and he obviously wasn't. But from what we've learnt now this afternoon from Unai Emery is that he has woken up this morning feeling a little bit better than he did yesterday. So therefore, I think Unai might be considering putting him on the bench, and at least being involved in the squad from the bench and being an option. I can't imagine he'll get a great deal of minutes tomorrow night. I think it's one that if we need him in the last 10 minutes, then it might be one to use him. And then Moreno again, from what I hear, is progressing well from his injury, but again, not available tomorrow and kind of up in the air still as to what happens for the game on Sunday too. So with all the injury concerns, it feels like, I know we were talking a couple of weeks ago about the team picking itself and then players coming back from injury and maybe having a few different options. The fact that Youri Tielemans went off, we obviously know Emi Martinez was suspended for this game and now he's also injured as well. And again, we don't know whether he'll be available for Sunday. It means that team selection, certainly in the front six, when you talk about midfield and the striker lineup, feels like there's almost only really one decision for the manager to make.
Yes. The concern for me is not so much the starting team, because I think it'll still be it ends up being a strong 11. You'd assume Diaby comes in for Tielemans, really, that you'd think that would be the challenge. But it's impact from the bench. It's, you know, another big game on Sunday. We can't really manage anyone's minutes because we don't have anyone to particularly bring on. If the game's not going well, kind of feels like there's just John Duran to bring on. Yeah. And that's probably it now. Like, to have this many absentees now and, you know, to be as bewildered as we are in terms of, you know, injuries have just been, it's never stopped. It feels like it's starting to ramp up again in a worse way than maybe it's been in the last few months. But generally, the injuries haven't stopped all season. And if the game isn't going well, there isn't much we can do to change things.
No, and actually, you know, I was thinking a little bit earlier today, every time I see Leon Bailey come out to training or see him in training with that strapping on, I'm always worried. It feels to me, you know, quite obvious that, and to be fair, you know, he's not going to be the only one. In a lot of Premier League clubs, these top professionals, I would say, you know, aren't 100% fit for probably like 70 or 75% of the season, because there's always something going on within their bodies. But it does feel like at the moment, Leon Bailey isn't quite at 100% and full throttle. So the only thought I had earlier today was whether he does decide to start with Duran up front with Watkins and go two up front and move Moussa Diaby out wide and then have Bailey as the bench option, particularly as, again, the manager has reiterated today that the Premier League is his most important priority this season and will be towards the end of the season. Then, of course, comes the Europa Conference League. So whether he feels that Bailey would be a better fit for the game on Sunday, if he's unable to kind of start two games in 3 days, then it might be a case of John Duran, who hasn't had a lot of minutes, feeling a bit fresher. He may decide to go with him up front.
I mean, centre-back feels like one of the only areas where we've got numbers at the moment, although, you know, Chambers obviously isn't registered for Europe, so that's another, someone else is going to have to come from somewhere to be on the bench. I guess because Cash ended the game right midfield against Chelsea, potentially because we've got numbers in defence, Konsa could move to right back. Carlos has played most of the European games and Cash could play in midfield, perhaps. Longley maybe comes in and starts, potentially gives Pau Torres a game off. I don't know. Do you think there'll be any other kind of changes?
I suspect that's going to be what happens tomorrow. You know, my inkling would be that Longley would come in and play. And then I actually think Matty Cash is probably going to start at right back and it'll be Konsa and Longley at centre-back with Dean at left-back. Just because, I mean, Carlos has played, as you say, most of the European games. I just feel like, you know, Konsa's so durable that there doesn't seem to be too much of a concern at the moment about him playing Thursday, Sunday. And given that, you know, he's probably defensively our best centre-back, it might be worth him starting.
Yeah, I mean, Olympiacos, as we said, between us, we probably don't know much about them. It's better to be honest than try and make things up on a show, I guess. But they have got a player who scored at Villa Park last season, Dave. Do you know who that is?
Daniel Pudence.
Yes, correct, David.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed watching him at Wolves, I'll be honest with you. So I was a little bit, not surprised, but I was a little bit Well, I guess I was surprised. Yeah, they let him
surprised
go.
The word you're looking for, I think.
It wasn't like, oh my God, wow, they've let him go. But it was like, oh, okay. I thought he was all right. That level of surprise is probably a better word for it.
Thank you for explaining your thought process on it.
There's probably a better word for it than that. But yeah, I mean, he's one that's probably going to start on the left-hand side. And, you know, as we saw at Wolves, he likes to cut in and shoot. So I guess that'll be his position tomorrow evening, starting on the left and cutting inside and trying to cause Cash and Konsa some danger. And, you know, the good thing is we don't particularly know a lot about Olympiacos, having not really watched them. But I tell you who will know a lot about Olympiacos, and in particular the manager, is Unai Emery, because he's come up against Mendilibar plenty of times throughout his career in Spain. And Mendilibar was at Sevilla, as was Monchi. So there's connections there, there'll be friendships there, and I'm sure Unai Emery and his analysts will know exactly how Olympiacos are going to set up. And yeah, I don't think they'll be causing too many surprises to the Aston Villa bench tomorrow.
No, I mean, I mean, it's amazing, you know, when you think how far we've come over the last few years, we're even talking about a European semi-final. I think when we qualified for the Conference League, I think I expected to go quite far, but now it's here and we've kind of negotiated the Thursday, Sunday. Well, in fact, we're never any good when we haven't played on a Thursday in the Premier League generally at the moment. We seem to be better when we do play on a Thursday. The fact that now we've got this far, in some ways it is expected because of Unai Emery, the fact that, you know, it is the third tier competition. We're one of the biggest clubs in there. How do you feel about this semi-final?
I think we just need to take a moment and just step back and think about what's been achieved over the last 18 months, and not just thinking about the last 18 months, really. This is 42 years since Aston Villa have been in a European semi-final. That's, you know, one and a half, almost two generations of supporters, including myself,
that
haven't seen Aston Villa in a European semi-final, on the cusp of going through to the final of a European competition with, you know, I don't know what the viewing figures will be like for the final, but it'll be millions and billions around the world that are watching this game when the final comes around at the end of May. So I think we just have to take a step back and really enjoy tomorrow and not get too caught up in, well, we should be turning these over, because as we found out in this competition, sometimes it's not that easy to turn over teams that you think you should be beating comfortably, as we saw with Mostar. So I think tomorrow night, it's a night to enjoy. It's a night to savour. It's a night to look around to the people next to you and say, this is an amazing experience for us to be there, for us to experience this together. And, you know, as you perfectly put it at the top of the show, you know, football is a family. And this is a time tomorrow night to really look around at everybody and enjoy every second, because some people aren't going to be there to watch it. Some people are going to be around the world. Some people are going to be at home. Some people are going to be, you know, as you say, unable to be there for other reasons. So, you know, 42 years since the last European semi-final, the team from that era are struggling with their health at the moment. So, you know, let's really do it for those guys and give them a night to remember as well. And make it a game that will go down in the history of Aston Villa. You know, even if you don't go through over the two legs, let's make tomorrow night a real history-making game and one to remember.
I mean, you'd like to think the club might have thought to do something with the 1982 team, or the people that, you know, the last players that played in the European semi-final at Villa Park, get them on the pitch before the game. You'd like to think something like that should happen. I mean, it should happen, shouldn't it? I don't know whether it will, but, you know, it's not, that wouldn't have been a difficult thing to organise. That would really help galvanise the atmosphere further. I remember when the 82 team came out a couple of years ago under Steven Gerrard in a terrible game against Crystal Palace, I think it was, and, you know, the club wasn't in a good place at that time, and kind of the meaning of them being there was lost. It would have been brilliant to have them come out before the game this time, because, you know, those guys are heroes. They're never the last people that played in a European semi-final at Villa Park. I think, you know, obviously the sentimental side of it feels more to me at the moment, because obviously of what's happened yesterday with Ian, but you're right, you know, these are special times. You know, I've been to quite a fair few European games at Villa Park with my dad, but I haven't been to a European semi-final. Probably the biggest game was the UEFA Cup under John Gregory, when Villa got to the quarterfinals and got knocked out by Atletico Madrid. You know, and that was in 1998. I think so. You know, these games have been few and far between, and it'll be a brilliant atmosphere tomorrow night. But the home leg's crucial, isn't it? Because we saw against Lille, you know, I think we've only won one game. So I think we beat Hibs, and then we beat Mostar away, didn't we?
We drew away.
I think we may have only won the one tie away from home. Actually, won the game outright the whole way. Altmar and Hibs. Hmm. So, you know, got to get a good lead, because we haven't done brilliantly away from home, have we, in the games? You know, the Lille game was tough, and I think this is going to be very, very similar. Could be a tie that goes all the way to extra time and penalties again in the second leg.
Yeah, and I do think the experience of the Lille game will help these players. Definitely, you know, as has been pointed out in the last couple of weeks since that Lille game, you know, this is the first time that this bunch of players is experiencing these, you know, really big, really important European nights. So I know a lot of them don't have a great deal of European experience, really. You know, you think of Robin Olsen as one of the most experienced internationals in the side. Obviously, Matty Cash with Poland now. So a lot of these players won't have experienced these high-pressure environments, knockout football.
Not in Europe. None of them. I don't think any of them have really, really played that are that will be playing tomorrow night other than this season.
So the experience of Lille, I think, will stand them in really good stead. And obviously, the experience of the manager as well, because he's been there and done it in knockout football, in knockout competition. So he knows how to drill a team. And I think a lot of it will come down to the way Unai Emery kind of gets his message across to the team as well, and the way they're able to handle things psychologically when and if Villa go a goal up or two goals up, as we have done recently, and not manage to turn the game into a victory. I think it will be really important and crucial, the messages that Unai Emery gives to his team in the pre-match meeting and then for his final words at the ground tomorrow night.
Yeah, Ricardo in the chat says Pau Torres is the most experienced. Obviously, gone far under Unai Emery in the Champions League a few years ago. Longley would have played some European knockout football as well. I'm imagining, actually, the more I think of, the more names are popping in my head, but there is also some inexperience in there as well. Just a quick shout out before we go to Chad, who's in the chat. It says he's in hospital at the moment, recovering from COVID. So, yeah, everyone will know who Chad is. I'm sure Dave and myself have been on his podcast before. So, yeah, best wishes to you, Chad. Hopefully,
yeah, best wishes, Chad,
you
mate.
Feel better soon and you can get yourself out of hospital. And even if you are in hospital still tomorrow, hopefully you find a way of watching the game, mate. Yep, that does us for the match preview show. We will be back on Friday, won't we, Dave? We'll be back on Friday. Yeah, we'll probably be back on Friday for another match preview and to look back at this game. It always confuses me with the schedule when we plan on Thursday, because it's so tight in terms of doing the content on the channel. But yeah, we'll be back on Friday to have a look back at the Olympiacos game and also look forward to the Premier League game on Sunday against Brighton. So yeah, just again, best wishes to Gemma and her family. I'm really, really sad about this. It's knocked me back. It's horrible news. And you know, brilliant human being, Ian Legg, and I'm going to miss him very much. So this show is dedicated to him, and yeah, you know, hopefully Villa can grab a win for him tomorrow night with him looking down on us, and you know, get that Conference League victory overall and qualify for the Champions League as well. I'm sure he'll be very proud of the boys if they do that, looking down on us all. So yeah, up the Villa. Everyone who's going to the game tomorrow, enjoy.
Sports Social Podcast Network.